Hey, Carl, what's up?
Nothing much, Billy. I see you got a little sun today.
Oh, yeah, you think so? I fell asleep by the pool for a few hours.
Did you fall asleep or did you pass out?
Shut up!
Thanks to Sam Vecenie, Eric Hedholm, and Eli Hershkovich for joining us. The producers, Zawoski Camp and Diaz, Brian Gertsch, had the video feed today. This is fun. This was our first post-selection show, and I hope we did it justice for you. I hope we got started a little bit with
the best we did.
Some of our pre-tournament research, because neither one of us claims to be a college basketball expert,
no.
So we bring in people who are. Danny Parkins has survived a bachelor weekend.
You don't look that bad.
Well, Jay was very hard on me when I got out of the elevator. He was getting his uncle and his guests out of here. He was showing them out.
Yeah.
And I thought I was being polite and introduced myself and said, oh, you know Jay. And they're like, why don't you get into the business? I'm like, yeah, well, you're learning from the best. And then Jay, best and Jay. So, I got my little shot in. He's just like, you look like you're still drunk and more haggard than usual, and you got a little sun. Like, really?
I said none of those things except the sun comment. Well, you are quite red.
Am I?
Yes.
Are you burnt? Like, do you feel?
No, I feel fine.
Sunburned?
I mean, listen, I was outside a
definitely
lot.
Definitely more tan than you were when you came back from Phoenix. You've got some sun.
Definitely.
No, the only burns he got was Burns' famous steakhouse in Tampa.
Man, I've never been to a restaurant like that.
Isn't that incredible?
I heard you guys talking about it. This sounds absolutely bizarre.
It is a bizarre. It's like Willy Wonka's chocolate factory for meat.
Yeah.
The guy behind it is a guy. His name is Byrne. I don't even know if he's still alive.
Neither do I.
But he's a crazy person. He's got like OCD or something. He's a wealthy, crazy person, eccentric, I should say.
Yeah.
He's a wealthy eccentric who created a very eccentric steakhouse with incredibly tight quality control over everything.
Yeah, so much so that I don't think we knew exactly what we were getting into, because we started off really on the wrong foot with them, because we went the first night we were in, and a lot of the bachelor, my buddy's older brother, who I've known now for 20-something years, he was coming in from Denver, and there was the snow bomb or whatever it was, that the huge
bomb cyclone.
Bomb cyclone. Yeah, snow bomb.
Mob.
Yeah, exactly. So he, coming off of like a week or a month-long ski trip that he was on, because he just lives that type of
it's
life.
Good to be the king.
Yeah, exactly. He's that guy. He had to drive west from Denver to Salt Lake City because he couldn't fly out of Denver or Colorado Springs to make it to his own bachelor party. So about 18 of us got to his bachelor party before he did. So he missed golf on Thursday.
That sucks.
And then, but he flew right in.
We didn't miss it. It was great.
Yeah, we had a blast. But so he meets us at the restaurant. And so we ended up having, there ended up being like 30-something people at the bachelor party. And
it's big.
It was huge. Well, this
enormous
guy, he's 37. He's
not going to get a whole hell of a lot better.
He's partied everywhere, and he's got friends from everywhere, and everyone wanted to come out and support him and have fun, and it was amazing. But so we had three tables of six, and 19 people showed up. And so we're like, oh, we'll just fit a seventh. We'll squeeze in at our table, no problem. And they said it's a fire code violation. And these guys are all engineers who went to Duke. And they're like, a fire code is for the room. And the room isn't empty. It's not for just the corner table is now a fire code violation.
That sounds weird.
So they were, so they're like, well, you guys could stand up and we'll find you another table. And we're like, okay, fine. We'll find us another table. Then it was 30 minutes until you're like, no, it's ridiculous. And so we were.
It's already a 3.5-hour production when you eat at Burns anyway.
And we were, it was just the restaurant wasn't full. We were like, we've got 18 people here. We need to fit 19 people. The restaurant is not full. We've got to be able to figure this out.
But just so people know, this guy Burn has his own farms where he raises his own cattle.
Yeah.
All of the fish, like saltwater fish, are coming out live out of a tank.
So I missed some of this.
Their wine cellar is apparently one of the largest wine cellars that exists. You have to go to see it. You go down in the basement, under the street, and into an entirely separate area. It's like catacombs down there of nothing but wine. They make their own steel to make their countertops and some of their cookware.
Yeah.
Then after your dinner, you have reserved a second table in the dessert restaurant.
The dessert room was one of the crazier experiences ever because they kept selling us on it, and we had a table eventually of seven. We polished off three bottles of wine and a bunch of cocktails, so we were wasted.
But then you're into the after-dinner drinks.
Correct.
And the incredible list. Scotches you've never heard of. Like a single bottle of scotch where each shot is $500. And all of the wood, in the dessert room is made up of reclaimed, repurposed casks.
Of
port and whiskey and yes, like it. This is that place.
Okay. And so I wish I would have known this sober because when they were selling us on, well, do you want to take the kitchen tour or the wine cellar tour?
Yes, and yes,
and we were like, no,
just more wine. Thank
just
you
more
so
wine
much.
Here, and then the dessert room, and we had a blast, and they tipped 25%. They were great. Like by the end of the meal, we were doing cartwheels over how amazing this place was, even though we got off on the wrong foot with it. But you know, it was just I didn't realize that it was this cultural phenomenon of Burns Steakhouse, and Chicago, amazing food city, steakhouse capital. I had never had Chateaubriand.
It's just a fancy way of saying beef tenderloin.
I'd had tenderloin. I'd had filet. But Chateaubriand was one of the more delicious steaks that I had ever had.
You ordered correctly, too, because the actual steaks, like the broiled steaks, are fine.
Yeah.
Probably not as good as here.
Yeah.
But that's the way to do it. Like stuff like that, and their tartars.
Yeah.
They've got a whole tartare menu of nothing but raw meats. If you really want a prion disease, that's the way to get it.
It was so good. And it was just like, that was how we started the 3.5 day adventure. Well, we started, I guess, with golf on Thursday and then the steakhouse Thursday night. And then Friday, we played TPC Tampa. I had never played a TPC course.
Nice.
And it was cool because obviously the Players' Championship was going on at TPC Sawgrass.
Right.
And for people who don't know, it's a brand of courses. There's a dozen or so around the country, and they are Players Championship quality.
Uh-huh.
Ahoy polloi, which apparently that doesn't mean what I've always thought it meant. But it was awesome. Like you had the option, you know, we didn't have caddies, we just had golf carts, but it's that type of course and everything is manicured. And the starter is just casually like, the greens are rolling at a 12 today. Which
cool.
is basically like putting.
Oh,
on
got you. Well, I got to switch to my secondary ball
not
then.
Well, sure.
I don't know. I was pretty prepared for an 11. I don't know. Thanks for telling me now.
It's basically like putting on glass.
Yeah.
And we're like, okay, well, we're doing a scramble and we've all had Bloody Marys and some. God, we were not popular there either because they reserved seven foursomes, but a bunch of people again were late because of the bomb cyclone. And so four of the seven foursomes got full. So we were like, we got 16 of the 28. Like, that's not good enough.
It's not enough.
That's 12 people at like $150 a round that are just not showing up for reserve times that you guys have had reserved for 2 months. Like, sorry, these people didn't get out of bed. I don't know what to tell you.
By the way, the 864 says, sadly, Byrne passed away in 2002. Gert, now retired, visits occasionally while their son David carries on the tradition of running Burns Steakhouse.
Okay. David might have been the one who finally allowed us to put seven in at the table for six then. So thank you.
Came in strong. Way to go, David.
Thank you to David Burns. But yeah, man, it was an absolute blast. I didn't know half the people there because he's, like I said, he's my buddy's older brother. But everyone was just cool and got along. And Tampa goes big for St. Patrick's Day. And drinking in the – it's not the heat. It's the humidity that will kill
humidity,
you.
Yeah, that'll get you after you a little bit.
So, yeah, people who were like, oh, we went out till 7 in the morning. I'm like, I did not. I would wake up and start going hard, and then the sun would hit me, and I would go to bed. But it was a great time.
You seem as though you had all of the great that you could handle.
I had as
time.
Much – exactly.
Good.
I had as much great
Go
as
ahead.
I could possibly handle.
So I have Syracuse and Gonzaga circled as one of the second-round games to watch if indeed it occurs.
That'd be great. This Syracuse team is the same Syracuse team that they've been every year for the last 5 years. They are as athletic as everyone.
They're long.
They're the tallest team in the tournament.
Uh-huh.
They're the tallest team in the country by average height. Tyus Battle is going to play. Their offense isn't awful when he plays. He's a real player who might be a second-round pick in the NBA draft. And they are a tough team on the quick turnaround in the tournament. Boeheim's Sweet 16 and Elite 8 record is sparkling. because when teams only have 36 hours to prepare for the zone, they can't do a full practice. They can only do walkthroughs that right. often are in hotel ballrooms, you know. So he's if he gets there, it's a tough turnaround. But Gonzaga's well-coached. They're veteran. They can shoot. They can rebound. And Syracuse isn't a great rebounding team out of the zone, even though they have size. It's just tough to rebound out of the zone.
Yeah, very few teams are good rebounding teams.
Exactly. So, you know, I don't love Gonzaga. I would have rather Syracuse been in Virginia or North Carolina's region if they were going to be on the 8-9 line, just because they've seen them in the ACC and they've got the experience and they can match up with them athletically. But, hey, they made a run. They've made a run two of the last 5 years deep without having good teams, one time even being on a bubble. So they can make a run. I just wouldn't bet on it, even though I have. I bet that.
I bet a lot on it.
Oh, no, I bet.
But I wouldn't do it if I were you.
I have them at 125-1 from like a couple of weeks ago. I took Eli's advice and I got Auburn at 90-1. So that's going to be kind of exciting if that goes off. But yeah, you know, I love this thing. 64 teams down to 16 in 96 hours.
You just let it wash over you. That's my favorite part. You just kind of let it all happen to you, experience it. Maybe you got a bracket. Maybe you got a survivor pool. But you don't need that to make it happen for you over 2 days. It'll do it by itself.
Does this text mean anything to you? Parkins, how dare you try to steal my buddy's clubs on your way home at Midway? Was there a mix-up?
Oh, well, thank you for texting in, sir. I wish you would have said hello at the airport. Yeah, I mean, I didn't try to steal them.
Wrong clubs.
I was basically dead and asleep, mm-hmm. and I had just purchased my golf travel bag before our Arizona trip because uh-huh. I did not have one.
Yeah, you gotta have one.
And because if you fly on Southwest,
they're expensive.
It flies free. To check your golf clubs on Southwest, bags fly free. So I got a rolling golf travel bag for $67, and I was playing I played in Arizona last week, and I was playing two rounds in Tampa this week, so I figured that pays for itself instead of paying $50 a set to rent clubs. So I bought the bag, so I'm not used to the bag, and you know, the people at Samsonite, in an effort to turn a profit, actually made more than one. And so this guy,
how dare they?
And so, like, I didn't have any sort of demarcation to make it my bag or his bag other than the luggage ticket. And so my bag came out and I grabbed it to start pulling it away to go to the Uber stand, and the guy was like, those are my clubs.
Stop right there, Parkins.
And I was like,
sir.
Oh, I guess I should have checked the tag. My bad. And I gave him his golf clubs, and two bags later, they were mine. I hosted a national show last night. I don't know what I said. Like, it was a show, and it happened, and I slept through Selection Sunday napping, and then I did 4 hours nationally last night.
Did you get the national equivalent of Grobstein callers?
Yes and no.
Because when I've done national shows, it's never been in that particular time slot. So it's always been like not those people, you know what I mean?
Yeah, not the third shifters or the drunks or anything like that.
Or the drunks. It's the drunks.
You know, I get a call from Jay in Alaska every week, so it's like, you know, 4 p.m. there. I get a lot of calls.
You're stuck in traffic again.
I'm
probably elk on the highway. I can't get around it.
Yeah, I get, you know, calls from the West Coast, small towns, and then they do a good job of screening the calls out of New York. But yeah, they love taking calls on the network. They want me to just monologue and have takes and then take calls, which is not exactly how I love to
That's
do radio.
Brand.
Yeah. So,
you're not the boss.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm like, thank you for the opportunity. And so I just take calls. And, you know, it was fun. I put Eli on last night for 2 segments. I put Jerry Palm on because, like you, I was thinking about it. This is the least amount of college basketball I've watched in at least 14 years. My 4 years at Syracuse, my year of unemployment after all I really did was watch college basketball and gamble when I wasn't playing poker, then worked in Syracuse, then worked in KC, where they've got the Big 12 and the SEC. And then in middays, I don't know, I feel like I watched it a little bit more than here. It's harder to go home and immediately see my wife and be like, I need to turn on
a basketball.
I gotta turn on Big Monday.
It's a hard sell.
When we don't talk about it on the show. So like that hasn't been happening as much recently. So yeah, I feel out of the loop a little bit with college hoops. I know Syracuse, I know Duke, and you know I watched some conference tournament stuff, but I don't know much.
But that's okay.
Well, yeah, I'm probably gonna kill it this year. probably going to actually make money.
That's how it always happens.
That's what I'm saying.
That's how it always
happens. I'm pretty excited to finally actually make money on the tournament now that I know nothing about the tournament.
Oh, you got our guy on at three, too. He's just a piece of work.
Oh, Timmy?
Yeah, Tim Doyle. So Mac, he was going to be here. He was literally pulling into the garage when he got a phone call that there was an update and something he needed to attend to with his father, who I know he's shared on the air, has had a stroke and multiple strokes and is dealing with that. So serious health issues for Mac's dad. And so he had to turn around. He wanted to be here today. So he'll be spending his day at the hospital with his father. So kind of a last-minute pinch-hit situation, but Shep and Tanny will be chiming in, and Tim Doyle will be on the show at 3 o'clock. Ben Brust will be on at 4:45 as people who know more about college hoops. I'm sure we'll have Eli on in the next day or two. You guys got him today, but how about that guy? How about Simba grinding?
He knows his stuff.
Knows his stuff,
yeah,
man.
He went like 4 deep in the Belmont roster.
Unbelievable.
Well, so last night he did the show here. He made his hosting debut in Chicago.
Yeah.
Killed it. Then did his podcast for the Action Network, where last year he was 59.4% against the spread. This year he's like 54.2% against the spread. So back-to-back years of, you know, in the green, against the spread, documented handicapping for college hoops. Did that podcast. Then was on with me for the last 2 segments of the national show until 1 in the morning. Then went home and wrote. So it was up till 4 or 5 in the morning. And then was on with you guys today, and I was talking to him. He has watched at least 1 college basketball game every day this season.
Wow.
At least 1 game.
It's a damn good resume.
Regardless of conference, relevance, gambling.
You know sat down and watched it through.
So, you know, I respect the grind. I respect the hustle and the hard work, and that guy wants to be a college basketball authority. And he's watched at least 1 game every day of the season. He says his girlfriend's ready to throw him out of the apartment. But I mean, that's that grind. So I'm proud of that guy.
Yeah, you want to be part of it when he blows up. You better stick through this.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, right? Like when he replaces Joe Lunardi in 10 years, you know, we'll be able to say we knew him when we were calling him Simba. I love that kid. He's great.
Have fun today.
By the way, Joe Lunardi, what a gig. What do you think Joe Lunardi makes? $300K?
Who employs him?
ESPN.
Full-time?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Just for this time of year, they check in with him every once in a while.
He does clickbaits. Like he does like the early bracketology.
Everybody clicks his stuff,
though. That's
everybody
what I'm saying.
Clicks his stuff.
It's huge traffic.
He draws everybody in.
ESPN pays really well.
Nah, they do and they don't,
well,
though.
They dropped everybody a couple years ago, so I don't know if he got affected.
There were a bunch
that.
Of cuts.
They dropped
they
reporters.
Fired everybody.
It's true.
Not traffic generators. They dropped reporters, which hurt their journalistic brand, and it's not obviously a good look, and that sucks.
But, also hurt the Bradley brand, oddly enough. Nobody can figure out quite how that happened.
Yo, that was some vintage Bernsey today. That was you had your name calling shoes on.
Well, good.
That guy's a bag. Brian Wardle is a turd.
I am not.
He sucks. Everybody in basketball hates him. That was my favorite thing. It wasn't just getting those quotes and publishing them. It was the response I got of everybody like, "Yep." There was not a single person who was like, you know, I kind of like him. You're really kind of going. Everybody was like, yep, that's exact, and more. And everybody had more. He is Alford Light. He's Alford without the aiding and abetting sexual battery.
Some of the stuff that's happening with journalism in this country and around the world makes me less passionate about the SID and college athletic program that flexes its muscle against the beat reporter because like in the grand scheme of what matters in life, who gives an F?
Right.
You know what I mean? It's but obviously I agree with you and everybody who's been standing right. It's like one of the battles that you can win. So you feel really good about it. Because like, yeah. Bradley apologized to Dave Reynolds.
Meanwhile, the White House is telling people to read the manifesto of a racist murderer.
Correct. It does feel like a bunt single. Like
you're not out.
You're on base, man.
For sure.
You're on base. You get an inning cooking.
We're down 12. You know what I mean?
Let's get something started here.
There's nobody out. Come on. Turn the lineup
get my
over.
Rally cap on.
So as a guy.
Full bullpen.
I love the fourth estate and the first base. So like, yep, this was a win technically for journalism, but like, okay.
Take what you can get.
Sweet. I can't wait for Bradley to be one and done, bounced, and us to have never think about this story again. But great reporting.
I wrote it at 6 in the morning, too, because I was up. And when I got that information from the former coach,
yeah,
and who was, boy, really, really motivated. You should see what I didn't use.
I can't imagine.
Oh, my God. I was telling Connor some of the stuff, too, it's off the air. But the stuff I didn't use about how big a bag this guy is.
So how did we not know this before this
happened? We did. He was in trouble at University of Wisconsin Green Bay.
But I mean, in terms of the public lexicon around here, was it just nobody cares about Bradley?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
Simple enough then. That's the most obvious explanation is usually the correct one.
Yep. Right there on the edge.
You asked for a name from Eli, by the way. I'm rooting for UCF to beat VCU in the 8-9 game because you get the sentimental story of Johnny Dawkins, who coaches UCF, and Johnny Dawkins' kid is at UCF. And so you'd get Johnny Dawkins, whose numbers retired at Duke, who's one of the first transformational recruits
have to tell me who Johnny Dawkins is.
There's other people on the other end of this microphone coaching against Coach K, which would be really cool. And then they've got Taco Fall on UCF.
He's the tallest dude in college basketball.
Yes. And 7'6", so we'd have the opportunity for Zion to put Taco Fall on a poster.
Have you seen his free throws?
Yes, of course. He's a senior.
Is it Taco or Taco?
I call him Taco.
Taco?
I believe it's Taco.
It's spelled T-A-C-K.
Yeah, I thought it was Taco. But okay.
I think it's Taco.
But him shooting free throws, he looks like something unfurling. It's not human what he's doing on those free throws, and it doesn't often result in good things.
But he had his senior night. He was going to leave for the NBA after his junior year. It was a shortened season. He was hurt. Ended up coming back to college. Just had a great year. Has set all these UCF records. And there's a really great emotional, you know, tug at your heartstrings type of video. He hadn't seen his mom in 7 years, and she showed up at senior night. From when he left the Senegal to come to the U.S. to start playing basketball and take advantage of getting an education and turning his height into something. He's a double major at UCF, graduated, and his mom surprised him at senior night. And it was just
– oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So Taco – you wanted a funny name?
Taco Fall, man.
This guy's awesome. Now he's going to get absolutely – I mean, best shot is he wins one game because then he gets Duke. But whatever. Taco Fall.
There it is. There you have it. Have fun today.
See you, boys.